Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. All righty. Okay, let's get back here.
Okay, we're going to play a little bit of music here to start us out and get us in the mood for a great service. Amen. We're going to play On My Way featuring Ryan, okay, Remisol, and, well, we'll go from there.
Thank you. My punch weight in one day. So bad wants to go pay for low pay. Double up and gather my belongings in a duffel. Sound a voice wrong thing from moving to a muffle. The tougher I become, a lover of an inner peace. Hard to discover others when you feel it cease. Sometimes to decrease, I hope it become peace. Work among the tents, the devil may unleash. Enemy a rare break. Options are yay or nay. Embarrassment a moment, you will cherish trouble by the way. One tip at times, going to unwind. Tussle with the struggle so much that I go blind. Hip-hop tactician, wonder the passion. Mesmerizing all of the people I had. Listen, that's the way it goes, I suppose. Everybody knows, being bona fide, there they go. Kicking in the dough.
Rise of the
like I just got petted. Strange group hanging from the trees. No, I shouldn't do it, but I still gotta have it. Try to fight the feeling, the condition of an addict. Hurt is human nature, but it's stronger than a habit. Somebody pray for me, Father, take it away from me. Undo me, even from the taste of it. Got it bad, need a clean break from it. Try to sleep it off, but still can't away from it. Like a bad love turned to a sad love. Bittersweet memories, wish I never had love. In the moment, it was right, though. For a minute, I was in it, every second wanted hope. Cup ran over, now I'm feeling on the flow. Slipping in it down, made it worse than before. And it's
because we bought into the mindset and the idea that it's all about me. I can do what I want to do. You don't have the right to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing, and you do what you want to do. And I'll do what I want to do. I don't know if you've caught it, but the word I seemed to be the focal point of each of those statements. A few examples of this can be found in recent headlines. On the East Coast, former U.S. Representative Anthony Weiner was accused of admitting sending inappropriate pictures and text messages to upwards of 10 women, yet he still wanted to be the mayor of New York City. In Cleveland, Ohio, Ariel Castro kidnapped and raped three women over a period of 10 years, caused one of them to miscarry several pregnancies, but blames everything on his so-called addiction. In San Diego, former Mayor Bob Filner had been accused of inappropriate behavior against women and staff personnel, admitted his behavior was not appropriate, decided to admit himself into an intensive two-week therapy rehab program in an effort to correct many years of inappropriate behavior, yet he was very reluctant to resign or step down from office. So what I see in all these cases are acts of selfishness with no real regard for others and how their actions may affect other people. When I look at or select text, I find that Jesus is trying to get us to take a very good, close, hard look at ourselves to see if we're conducting ourselves in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. Now let's understand something here. Our righteousness, according to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Our righteousness makes a turn for the better when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior and take on his righteousness. This then gives us a moral compass and gives us direction on how to live righteous life. What I'm trying to say is, if you don't know Jesus, get your righteousness right. If you do know Jesus but want to do your own thing and not operate in the obedience of his will and word, get your righteousness right. Jesus starts off in verse 19 talking about breaking the least of the commandments. So what he is referring to here, God gave us 10 commandments in Exodus 20, which were requirements for living a righteous and holy life. The rabbis and religious leaders took these same 10 and turned them into 613, which made it extremely difficult to keep and abide by. One of the things they also did was assert that some of the commandments were weightier than others. But that's not how God sees it. Here's my point. With God, sin is sin is sin, and none carries more weight than others. For example, a lie carries the same weight as murder in the sight of God, because with him, sin is sin is sin. The problem is that people were justifying their actions, calling them acceptable, and teaching others that it's all right to do these things. In today's society, we have a tendency of saying, well, I can't do everything that needs to be done. But God knows my heart. The reality of it all is that he does know our hearts and knows we can do better. We are doing the same, we're doing the bare minimum or don't want to do better. God is not looking for excuses. He's looking for obedience, especially from those who are called the household of faith. We should never shirk our responsibility to teach others how to live righteously. Because the scripture teaches in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "For unto whomsoever is given of them shall be much required, and to whom have been committed much of them, they will ask the more." So we have the responsibility to share with others what we have learned regarding eternal life. I said before, this is the gospel we have, and we will do us no real good if we keep it to ourselves. It's a giveaway gospel, and the more we do so, the more the Lord will replenish it in our lives. The Lord further goes into deal with the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom that will be established when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ will come and set up his literally earthly kingdom that will last forever. So my question before you today is, do you want to be counted as least or great in the kingdom of heaven? So let's take a few minutes to talk about get your righteousness right. The Pharisees were so focused on keeping the letter of the law that they missed the spirit of the law. Their keeping of the law actually not put people in bondage rather than setting people free. what they wanted more than anything else is to be seen of men doing acts of righteousness. But it was only for their individual benefit and not the kingdom's glory. The preacher's outline of the sermon Bible says here, the religious, the Pharisees, and the scribes had some righteousness. They just did not have enough. They were, in fact, strict religionists. They worked on obeying thousands and thousands of rules and regulations governing everything ranging from dress and social behavior to ministry and work. However, they lacked the one essential loving God so much that they would deny themselves and seek the righteousness in His Son, Jesus Christ. They looked the part, they talked the part, they gave the impression they were all living the part, but they missed the mark by focusing on themselves and not on God. So even in our society today, there are some who feel that going to worship Sunday after Sunday is being obedient to God. Here's the problem. We can go to worship or do many things religiously, but when we arrive, we are really fulfilling the spirit of the law. We are made to give God glory, and evidence of this found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, which says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So we are taught that God is looking for true worshipers. In John chapter 4, verse 24, we find that God is a spirit, and they worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we can't be religious as Pharisees were, and therefore, when we break the threshold of the house of the Lord, our minds should be made up to give God the glory that is done, that is due his name, because God knows our hearts. So we must live righteousness. Okay? This has a lot to do with not just what people see of us, but more importantly, what God sees when nobody else is watching. You see, it's easy to leave righteousness in front of people and go about doing good, helping people, but being seen doing acts of kindness, saying the right things at the right time, but what about your motives? God never intended that we give the impression of being good or righteous, but it expected us to live daily. Again, the preacher's outline of the Bible says, some feel that they must do good to be acceptable to God. Their motive in life is to work and work and doing good in order to secure God's acceptance. They've never learned the truth. They cannot do enough and good to be perfectly acceptable to God. They must trust his love, that he loves them so much that he will take their trust and count it as righteousness. So when we think about the quote, we must come to the understanding that we cannot work for our salvation because the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by the grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do we live righteous? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. We've got to know God. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, we find, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We've got to know God's word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we find this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So we got to know how to worship God. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we find, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will shew forth all marvelous works. We've got to love God in Psalms 18, verse 1. We find, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We've got to trust God in Psalms chapter 71, verse 1. We find, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. We've got to love one another, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, and the second like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment than these. So if we want to get our righteousness right, we've got to get it right with Jesus. He's the end of all that pertains to righteousness. Romans 10, verse 4 tells us, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul makes this statement because Christ is the one from whom we receive our righteousness. So let me tell you what righteousness did for us. Righteousness put on human flesh. Righteousness came down through 40 and two generations. Righteousness was born of a virgin. Righteousness was found in a manger. Righteousness consulted with a religious leader with great knowledge at a very young age. Righteousness healed a blind man. Righteousness healed a man with a withered hand. Righteousness was betrayed by a kiss. Righteousness was falsely accused. Righteousness was condemned to die. Righteousness was placed on a cross. Righteousness was pierced in the side. Righteousness died on a cross. Righteousness was placed in a borrowed tomb. And righteousness got early Sunday morning. Amen. Well, I hope this sermon was a blessing to you all. Amen. Well, let's get into this. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you've got a chance to do so tonight. All I ask you is to say this simple prayer after me. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and there is nothing that I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when he died on the cross. I believe that he did all that will ever be necessary for me to stand in your holy presence. So I thank you that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection. As best as I can, I now transfer my trust unto him. I am so grateful that he has promised to receive me despite my many sins and failures. So, Father, I take you at your word. I thank you that I can face death now that you are my Savior. Thank you for the assurance that you will walk with me through the deep valley. I also thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to, welcome you into the family of the Lord. We'd like to say, "May the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored." Amen. Okay. Well, if you said this prayer, we'd like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press the 1 key, and I'll bring you on the air so you can speak with us and let us know if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring on Pastor Leroy now. Okay? Hey, Pastor Leroy. How you doing
tonight? How you doing there, Pastor? I'm doing good, Pastor Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Look, I want to apologize for last evening. I had a bad day yesterday. I had some personal family issues. And I want to apologize to your audience and to you and to Tony F. for the way I acted last night. Had a little too much to drink. And, that doesn't mix real well when you got family issues, man. So I want to apologize to you and to your audience last night for my rant. And tonight I'm just going to sit on the side, man, unless somebody calls on me.
Okay. Well, hopefully we've got some callers in the queue, but they have not pressed the 1 key as of yet. So I will sit there and wait for them to press the 1 key, and hopefully we'll get some callers. Okay. Let's play some more music here, and let's get blessed by some music. All right.
searching for the door. I could not help myself. Oh, gatekeeper, why does the brightest star shine here and nowhere else? This beauty I've never known before. Drums crash, gates rising, my soul dances like fire. Oh, with stained glass we tried, but even Michelangelo could not describe this feeling above me. Where angels cry, hallelujah, hallelujah, welcome home. Yes, I was home. So gatekeeper laughing at me, bring your keys, let's go. Hear a city sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bright-eyed he whispered, there's a crowd around the throne. Yeah, I'll take you to the king. Ooh. Drums join the trumpets ringing. They like music in
about that music, folks. Great music. Alrighty. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for tonight. The Father says, today, enter into my purposes. You are not an accident. Your place in the timeline of human events is not a random happenstance. You were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Your life matters. What you do matters. As to connect and engage with my intentionality in your life, you will experience my purposefulness, moving you, establishing you, and provisioning you for my greater glory. Know, says the Father, that what I have uniquely created you to do and who I have distinctively made you to be is on demand and in the earth. Refrain from worrying about what people think or why no one is paying attention. There are multitudes out there ready to drink from the well of salvation that your testimony represents. All you need to do is daily ask the question, how may I serve, and can I help? The answers are within you. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Alrighty, well, since we have no more callers, okay, nobody's pressing the one key, I'm going to end this tonight, okay, and I'm going to thank Pastor Leroy for joining me this evening, and everybody that joined us in the chat room, Roar, Brimshaw, Jenna Jameson, Internet Friend, Pantsetter, okay. Give a shout-out to Johnny Longfeather, Okay, Juan from Alabama. DC2. Okay, may you all have a blessed evening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Amen.